Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special episode of If You Could Hide to Colab podcast. Today, Clive, we are talking about General Conference, April 2024. What a great conference and so much to talk about and loads of temples announced, which we're super excited about, particularly one here in Brisbane.
Yeah, Daniel, definitely looking forward to that getting built. The one that we currently have, I remember it got built when we first moved to Australia. So that was really exciting for us. And yeah, now we get to see another one with our kids, get that to walk through them with them when it gets built. But yeah, a lot of temples, 15 temples got announced. So yeah, that's really exciting. Do you have something you can show us where those places are going to be?
Yeah, well, I actually thought what I might do is just show where about some of these temples are. If we look here, there's the temple. One of the temples announced, which was really interesting, is down here in French Polynesia. Now, those who might be aware, this is the island of Tahiti here, and there's already a temple here. But the temple was announced that it's going to be built on this tiny little island out here. This is the area that it was announced. And for those playing at home, these islands known as French Polynesia is actually the third highest capita of members in the world. There's 29,000, almost 30,000 members that make up that area. So these saints would have been traveling to Tahiti, and now there's another temple that they're able to get to. So I thought that was pretty special, something to share.
Yeah, they'd definitely be excited for that. Imagine the cheer when it was announced.
Oh, yeah, totally. Hey, the other one is Venezuela. So I had a quick look and I thought, how far? Because we talked about the Brisbane temple has been announced and it takes me about an hour and a half to get to the temple, and it's going to be Brisbane South. So I'm in the Gold Coast area. So maybe it's only going to be an hour for me now, depending on where it goes. So that'll be exciting. But what about everyone else? Well, in Venezuela, the closest temple to where the new temple is going to be built is 8 hours and 45 minutes travel. Then there's another one that's down here in Brazil, and it's 9.5 hours to get to Sao Paulo temple. So these saints living in the southern Brazilian area, that must be pretty exciting for them. And Argentina as well. So Argentina that's pretty exciting. That's a 4-hour trip from the closest temple in Argentina to where that one's been announced. If you're wondering, Clive, in Utah, the Lehi Temple was announced. That's a whopping 13 minutes from its closest
Those four temple. Saints.
13 minutes. So that's pretty close. But then back from where we used to be in England, there's the Preston Temple. And you remember before we moved to Australia, we went to the open house of the Preston Temple where that was built.
I do remember.
And now there's going to be one in Edinburgh. England's quite small. It's only, 4 hours, it shows here, 3.5 hours to get to Edinburgh to Preston. But there's like 60 million people that live on the small islands of the UK. So there's London Temple there. Birmingham Temple, I think, is currently being built. Preston's in operation. And obviously Edinburgh has been announced as well. So that's all pretty exciting, I thought.
Yeah, well, I mean, that Edinburgh one, I've been looking on Facebook for the past few years. And a lot of church members in Scotland are always saying, when's Scotland getting a temple? So that'll be another one, which I'm sure they would have cheered about. I reckon for about 10 years, I've seen a lot of people say, when's Scotland getting a temple? So,
well, I must admit, I was pretty happy when I heard about the Brisbane one. And it's nowhere near as far, of course, as what Edinburgh is to Preston. So yeah, a lot of excitement. A lot of saints around the world must be pretty pumped for the announcement. Clive, one other announcement that I thought I would make mention is obviously there was Elder Patrick Kieran was sustained as well as being part of the Quorum of the Twelve, Jeffrey R. Holland as acting president of the Quorum of the Twelve. There was a few other changes as well. And one notable one is a man by the name of Philip J. Barton, which actually was my stake president when we lived in Sydney. A really nice man with an amazing family that we got some great memories. He is now been called into the Area 70 and I guess is now known as Elder Barton. So that'll take a while for everyone who knows him to get used to, but that's a fantastic call. And just, he's had some great service in the church. And I'm sure that will now continue. For trivia, the Area 70 of Australia is the eighth quorum of the 70, and it's actually called the Pacific and the Philippines, which I don't know if you knew that, but that was a bit, obviously that's just, I guess, how it all works. But yeah, the eighth quorum is here and it's Pacific and Philippines.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Okay. A couple of other really interesting things happened at conference. I did look at the church's worldwide report. 1.3 billion were spent in aid. And you know, the other thing that I thought I'd mention is just how busy the Quorum of the 12 are. So there's a small 45-minute video on the church's website, which kind of gives a year in review, I guess, of everything that kind of happened. Like I said, 1.3 billion in aid across loads of different countries. But the Quorum of the 12 are so active. I actually didn't realize there was Elder Anderson, I think, was in the Philippines. The church had paid for some water tanks to be rebuilt. There was a wheelchair and prosthetics place over there, which he went to. The church funds that. Hygiene kits were being given out to kids, school kids. The church funds those. There was another one in another Asian country. The church had given $2.2 million for a research facility and funded a hospital. And all these things that the church does, there's someone from the Quorum of the 12 who actually goes out. And I don't know if they go to all of them, but certainly they're very busy from what I can see. They go out. And at one point, the video even shows a member of the 12, I think it's Renland. He's out ministering in someone's house. So the Quorum of the 12 are really, really busy. And I didn't take note just how active they are. I couldn't imagine whose job it must be to organize their schedule. You know, you're needed to open this in this country. And then there's we're looking for land in this country. And we're donating this over here. And we want to, the church is growing massively across Asia, massively across Africa. And the Quorum of the 12 are out there doing the work like all of us. You know, we're doing work, we're going ministering. They're doing the same thing and often on an international scale.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, the church do all these things and they don't go, hey, look what we've done, because to them, it doesn't matter who did it. It's done. The aid is given. The charity is done. It doesn't matter who did it to the church. It's the fact that it got done. So yeah, that's really awesome. And it's really cool to hear that and to really see how active they are. I remember when we were kids, we had a missionary come to our ward once, and he said that he was in President Hinckley's ward. And I remember thinking how strange that was to just be in a ward with a prophet. So yeah, I mean, they still have their assignments like we do. So it's really interesting that.
What struck you about conference the most? I've got a few that really stuck out to me. There's President Nelson's talk at the end of the last conference about temples and about how important temples are was struck me quite a bit. And then, of course, announced these 15 new temples. I had a quick look. So he said that him and Elder Oaks is 40 years being a part of the apostleship, let's say. And so I had a quick look about when else has he talked a lot about temples. Actually, he was he had a big part to do with when Gordon B. Hinckley was the president. You remember Gordon B. Hinckley was about temples. And he had a goal that it was something like 50 temples in the early 90s. And he said by the year 2000, he wants 100 temples. And at the time that was like, that is the loftiest goal. How can that possibly happen? And in the year 2000, there was 102 dedicated temples. And back then, a much younger, Elder Nelson, wrote an article in the Ensign called The Creation in the year 2000. He talked about that the temples dot the earth. And I couldn't imagine then from 102 to now 180 dedicated in operation and in total 350 that are dedicated, in operation, being built or announced, and the church is looking for land. You know, from back then, the year 2000 to now, where we're talking about in little Australia, where there's only 22 million people, and there's now going to be a temple an hour away from another one. Like, that's just simply unheard of, and it's a real sign of the times.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny you say that, actually, because that's something that really I thought about during this conference. So I always like to think, what's the theme? Because they don't rehearse together and say, okay, I'm going to talk about this. What are you going to talk about? But there always seems to be a theme. And I felt, me personally, I felt that the theme this time was focusing on God the Father and temple work. That's what I really felt like the theme was. And yeah, I remember thinking when I was listening to the conference, how interesting it was that President Hunter focused on everyone needs a temple recommend. And then, like you said, President Hinckley went, let's build a bunch of temples. Then President Monson went, everyone needs to do their family history so we can do temple work for the dead. And then President Nelson went, we need more temples. You know, so it's really that. It's prepare for the temples, build the temples, prepare for the temples, build the temples. I feel like that's a sort of the pattern that we've been looking at. So yeah, there's a lot of really, really cool stuff. There was a lot of focus on temples, and I thought it was really good because it wasn't just go to the temple. It was the focus on covenants. You know, it wasn't just the covenants that we make with God. It's a covenant that God makes with us. It's, you know, it was President Oakes, I think, focused a lot on covenants. And he's like 90 now, but he really focused on the importance of keeping our covenants, making our covenants with God. And I think that really went hand in hand with Sister Dennis's talk. Do you remember Saturday morning session? She talked about the importance of the temple clothing and the temple garments. And she talked about choosing to be a part of God's covenants that enhances our relationship with God. And I thought that was really, you know, a strong thing to talk about. She even talked about a story of a sister that really wanted her own temple clothes, because not everyone has that ability to buy their own temple clothes. And she's, you know, really focused on it, really spent, you know, saved up her money so she could get it. And that she, when she died, she was able to be buried in her temple clothes. So, you know, it's a lot about temple, but it's not just get to the temple and do the work. It's everything that comes along with the temple. I thought that was a really good focus that they seem to have.
Yeah, you're definitely not wrong. Elder Christofferson talked a lot. He talked about the temples, and he talked about doctrine as well. He talked about the celestial kingdom. And he said, if you think about the kingdoms, which, you know, you and I love when they talk doctrinally, when he talked about the different kingdoms, what's the difference between those who go to the kingdoms? It's their testimony and love of God. He talked a lot about the temple as well. He talked about having wholehearted devotion, which I thought was really interesting, and some really exceptional wording that he used to try and drive his point. He gave that story about a branch, I think it was in Hawaii, where the branch president recognized that this dad had prepared the sacrament, but his daughter had an illness that they didn't know. And right before they have the sacrament, this branch president freaks out and tells them, you can't use that sacrament. You've got to use another sacrament. That know where what family prepared that sacrament, and that family left in, you know, in embarrassment and whatnot, left at home. It didn't knock them. They ended up coming, you know, they came back to church, and that was in the early 1900s. That was really special, I thought. What about Elder Holland, who gave a talk about his wife, and only a couple of days later, after his wife's funeral, had a medical emergency where he could have died, but he talked about having this exceptional experience, which he said something like that he won't talk about here. It was, you know, it was such a spiritual experience, but essentially he was told that his time isn't up, and he needs to go back, and he needs to work harder, and he needs to proclaim the Lord's name more. And he talked about how important prayer was. I thought that was really, really special.
Yeah, I really liked Elder Holland's talk as well. I mean, his joke at the beginning was perfect. You know, that was great. Really brought the mood up. But yeah, he's really focused a lot on prayer. And I think that one probably touched me the most, not just because it was the first one. But yeah, he did. He spoke about how his wife, you know, passed away and then he got really sick. And he talked about how he knows that a lot of members were praying for him, were fasting for him. His name, he said, I feel like my name was probably on every prayer roll all around the world. But it was really interesting because people prayed for him and people prayed for his wife, and his wife died and he didn't. And he speaks of that. And I think, I'm trying to recall exactly what he said, because the way he said it was really good, but he basically says that there's a reason known only to God why prayers are answered differently than we hope. And he says, but that I promise to you that, you know, God hears every prayer and he will answer them with his unfailing love and in his own cosmic timeline. And I thought that was just a really good, you know, way of saying it. You know, it's not for us really that we would understand. And it's one of those things where it's great that we understand certain things in the doctrine, in the gospel, but also we need to understand that we need to go off faith a lot of the times. And I feel like that's what he was going for. You know, you pray, you might not understand the reason why, but God has a purpose. So you need to go off the faith. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. So I really liked that talk. That really, you know, answered a lot of questions I had. And yeah, I thought that was a really, really nice one.
That was great. Sister, is it Spanos? Is that the right way to say it? She gave a really great talk as well. I think I'm going to enjoy over the next 6 months going through. I think President Nelson actually said that, you know, listen, go back and listen to the talks, listen to them. And I know that there'll be ward assignment talks and will be based on these, on this conference. And I look forward to hearing what people have to say and what their interpretations are of it as well. What about when Elder Kieran at the start of his says, what do you say? Behind every new apostle calling stands a mother-in-law.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was really, just shows they've got a great sense of, they're very busy people and they've got a lot on their shoulders, but it's great that they find time for some.
Well, I really liked Elder Kieran. He spoke a lot of the plan of salvation. I actually wrote down something that he said, because I was listening to it, you know, just as I was driving, because in Australia, we don't get to watch it live. But something that I remembered when he was talking about the plan of salvation, he said that it was designed for his children to come home, not to keep them out. And that God is relentless in the pursuit of you. The Savior goes in search of lost sheep until he finds them. And I thought that was really, really something that goes, it's not doom and gloom. This was made for you to come home. I really like that. So it was just an incredible conference. As I was trying to think of things to talk about, every single talk came to mind going, well, that was really good. And that was really good. And I guess it just, you know, watch it in your own time and have your own thoughts. You know, it's there for our revelations. I took it one way. You may have taken it another, and other people could have taken it completely differently. But, you know, this, the things that I see it as, and I think it's great.
The work is going forward. I had a look at a couple of stats before we close off. And lots of people think that the church grows because we have kids and the kids stay in the church and they have kids and they stay in the church. The last stats that I read, which were based on last year, was that, yeah, that's 93,000 new members came from born into the church. 250,000 convert baptisms occurred last year. So the church is growing and moving forward. What a great conference. We appreciate everyone joining us on our little conversation, a bit of a summary on conference. We really enjoyed it. And we'll get to listen to it a couple more times before we break this Sunday to watch it officially in our wards here in Australia. A great conference, and we're so grateful for everyone who takes time and listens to it. If you found something in there, share it with us. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And we'll resume our normal Come Follow Me lessons as we go on this week.